I'm talking about Men in Kilts' 8th and final episode, Culloden, Scotland's most infamous battle. Hello everyone, I'm your host Betty. This is the last episode of the season for Men in Kilts, and I'm gonna miss this show. It's one of my favorites to do every week. I love learning about Scotland, and you know, just seeing Sam and Graham every week is a real treat. So I'm really gonna miss this show. But I'm hopeful for a season two. I mean, it's too good not to get one, you know? So hopefully we'll get a season two. But anyways, let's just dive into the episode. The synopsis reads, "No moment in Scottish history shaped the country more than the Battle of Culloden. In the final episode, Sam and Graham discover how a single hour on the battlefield changed a nation." Okay, so this episode, it starts out, Sam and Graham, they're on a hill, and they're chanting, some kind of, war chant, and, or a war cry, because I looked it up, and, that's what I could find on it, that it's a war cry. So it says, and they say, "O sons of dog, of dogs, of the breed, O come here on flesh to feed." So this leg of their journey is taking them to Culloden. I mean, they're going to explore all of the weapons that were used on the battlefield, and they're going to actually go to the location, and they're going to talk to some historians about that battle that day that it happened and stuff. So this episode was really, it was a good episode. It was really kind of sad. But it was good. It was really informative, and it helps give you a perspective of just how important that day was, and how devastating that day was to Scottish culture. So I wrote down what they say at the beginning of every episode. I wrote down what they said in this episode. It says, "In the spring of 1746, Scottish Jacobite forces met the British government army on a marshy battlefield in the Highlands called Culloden. They fought to determine who should rightfully ascend to the throne of Scotland and England. The skirmish only lasted 60 minutes, but its legacy has endured for centuries. Highland warriors on the Jacobite side launched into the British line with one of their legendary Highland charges, a headlong rush into enemy gunfire with swords and shields drawn. Boggy conditions and newly devised tactics by the British commander, the Duke of Cumberland, neutralized the charge. The Jacobites suffered a devastating loss, but the greater blow was the Highland culture. The victorious British outlawed wearing tartan, playing bagpipes, and speaking Gaelic, Scotland's native tongue. An entire way of life was consigned to history, and Scotland was forever changed." So I wrote all that down because it was very informative, and, you know, I learned a lot just in that little bit of what they were saying. And also, you know, they say it way better than I could. I'm also pretty sure that could be an excerpt from Clanlands, and I've started actually listening to that book ever since I've watched this episode. You know, once I finished this episode, I started that book. I'm on chapter 4. I haven't really had much time to get through it all, but it's a really good book. Like I said, y'all could download it from Audible, which, by the way, is not sponsored. I wish. But anyway, you can download it from anywhere you can get Audible books. You can download it, and they read it to you. So that's really cool. It's almost like you get another episode of Men in Kilts. So anyways, and all of that, I also want to take a minute right here, too. I wanted to show, you know, read off exactly what that day was like, and because I didn't even realize that it only lasted an hour. And like so many people were killed in that battle. The reason I wanted to bring all of this up is because if y'all have listened to my last Outlander episode, and I shared news on that episode at the end. People have been going to this site where Culloden took place, and you know they've been going to Culloden, and they have been taking stones and souvenirs off of the battleground. Now, I don't know if they're taking, you know, the grave markers or what, or if they're just taking like little rocks, you know, and desecrating the land there, and it's really messing up everything. Why would anybody do that? I mean, it's awful. I mean, even if they're, you know, it's like, I've never been to Culloden, okay? But I have been to the Alamo because I live in Texas. And, you know, when you go into the Alamo, that the area where, you know, they have a lot of historical artifacts and stuff, you can feel like the atmosphere in that place. It's so heavy, and you can feel a presence there, like people died there. And it's very hard to explain if you've never been to a location like this, but that's probably the closest I've ever been to a place like that, and you feel that presence. And for people to be taking things from that location, you've got to be bringing some kind of bad juju on yourself. But I didn't mean to go down this whole thing, but that, ever since I heard that fans have been doing that, and it's not just at Culloden, it's at a lot of the historical places that Outlander is filmed at. You know, they are disrespecting these historical places. And, you know, ever since I heard all of that, it weighs on me. It's been weighing on me for the whole week since I've heard it. And I can't understand why anybody would do that. I know that true fans would never do that. So, you know, if you're doing that and you're not a true fan. But anyway, like I said, I didn't mean to go down this tangent, but I needed to get this off my chest. And, you know, reading that, you know, learning a little bit more about the history through this whole episode, it's just like, you know, I can't understand why anyone would do that. But anyway, let's get back into the actual episode. Okay, so they start talking with this guy named Alistair Moffat, and he has wrote several books on the history of Culloden. Just look him up and you can probably find his books, because I know they show some of his work on the episode. So yeah, I didn't write any of his books down, so anyway, I probably should have, you know, but I didn't. I'm sorry. But anyway, they're talking with this guy, and he's telling them, you know, the history of what happened on that day. And, I mean, he goes into a little bit more detail. He talks about how Culloden was a very pivotal moment in history for Scotland, because, you know, people were fighting with bladed weapons and against guns and things. They would get personal, you know, more up in your face than what battles are today, because, you know, now we have the drones and things, you know. So, but during Culloden, you know, it got personal because, you know, they were really up in there. And so, like, they would put the older men in the front of the battle, because, you know, they believed that the bravery, you know, the older men were more brave, and it flowed down, you know, through the generations. And, you know, the older men were more experienced and they could handle it better. And, you know, it was family, you know, these were clan members fighting in this army, in this battle. They were brothers at arms, you know, I mean, they were clans and families that fought in this battle. So, yeah, anyway, so he goes on to talk about how these men, they would have these rage fits called the Fredrach. And it was kind of like, you know, a berserk, you know, like in the Viking term. But, Graham McTavish, he talked about how his character Dougal was this way. But, you know, the man, he goes on to say that you would have to have that kind of rage and that kind of, bravery or whatever it was, because you were up in it, you know, because of the sword and the shield, you know, you were, it was hand-to-hand combat, so, you know, if you didn't kill them, they would kill you, so, you know, you had to have that, rage fits, you know, like he's talking about. And as they're talking with this man, they're showing scenes from Outlander, how they would get ready for the battle in that show. I believe the episode that they're showing clips from is Preston Penn's. So the charge, they would line up, and you know they could not run. You know they had to stand fast, and the British Army formed like this cannonade, is what he's saying, and because they had more cannon fire, you know, the British Army did than the Jacobite Army did. And then he goes on to talk about a remarkable thing that happened was all the Jacobite army men. The British Army thinks that these Highlanders are singing, but what they're really doing is they are reciting their genealogy. So they would recite, you know, who they're the son of. They would say it in Gaelic, and, you know, that was pretty fascinating to me that they would all say this stuff in unison. And basically what that was they were trying to summon the army of the dead. So, unable to withstand the cannonade anymore, they start to charge through the battlefield. And unfortunately, because they chose the boggy ground and the moor, because of that bad ground, they were charging, they were running into each other and stuff. So then the British Army came in and they started, fighting them, and it was just chaos. So when the Highlanders would lift their arms, their sword arm to strike, the British soldier would take their bayonet, and instead of charging the guy in front of you, you charge the guy next to you. So they got more people that way. So that new tactic that the British Army is using causes the charge to fail. So Sam, he goes on to start talking about when they were filming the Battle of Culloden, and each Highlander was taken out and executed after the Battle of Culloden. Sam was saying that it was really sad because it not only that, you know, you're saying goodbye to all these characters, but also you're actually saying goodbye to Scotland, because it was the end of Scotland as they knew it. It started a whole different way Scotland was done. You know, that's what I was talking about earlier, was that this was the end of the way Scotland was. And it's when they outlawed the wearing of the tartans and the playing of the bagpipes and all of that, it changed Scotland completely as we know it. So, anyways, because, you know, after the battle, the Duke of Cumberland, he went onto the battlefield and, you know, started a whole genocide, you know. And Graham points it out, you know, that it was the end of Scotland, or a version of Scotland. And it's absolutely right, because, I mean, this was the end for, you know, it's the Scottish traditions as they knew it. So they part ways with this guy, and the next leg of their journey, they're going to talk with I believe he was the weapons coordinator on Outlander. So they're going to, you know, see some of the weapons that were used in this battle. I'm sorry, this one, they actually learn how to use the weapons, and they get a good look at some of the weapons, but they actually learn how to use them. And the guy that's teaching them how to do this, his name is Charlie Allen. And so he shows them how to actually use a sword with the shield, and then he gets another weapon. It's like a big axe looking thing, and he shows them how to do that, and it causes you to actually have to do more thrust, you know, move your legs. And, you know, it's very physical to fight with these weapons. And like they were talking, you know, to the other guy and to this guy, they had to really be personal. Like, you know, nowadays, you know, in battle, we can be hundreds of miles away from each other and shoot off rockets and things like that. But back in those days when we were using swords and they were using, you know, shields and things, they had to be up on each other. So you had to have a lot of courage because you could actually feel or smell the guy you were fighting. You could actually smell his breath, you know. So, It was different back in the, you know, Culloden times than it is now, to fight. So, and this guy demonstrates, you know, just what, how physical and what all you would have to do, when you fought in the Battle of Culloden. And Sam and Graham, you know, they both, I was watching Graham a lot during this scene, and he, you know, because he's the older of the two gentlemen, and he did really well. But of course, you can tell, you know, that he's had training, you know, from, you know, probably from previous works that he's done, you know, in Outlander, and he's been in The Hobbit, and he's been in things. So he's probably got a lot of experience on doing stunts and stuff. So that was pretty cool to watch him do that. And Sam, I mean, I watched Sam too, of course. But I was real impressed with Graham. This whole show, I want to take a second because, you know, I watched it for Sam. I'm not going to lie. But as I watched it, I started to be more attached to Graham, actually, as far as, you know, being fascinated with what he has to say and things. So I just want to take this minute right here to say that I started watching it for Sam, but Graham really has impressed me. And, you know, I am a fan of his. You know, I love Dougal, and I love, like I said, I've watched The Hobbit, and I've watched, you know, a lot of things that Graham McTavish has done, but I didn't have that big of an appreciation for him until I started watching this show, because I really appreciate Graham. And, you know, like I said, I'm gonna miss this show, but you know, hopefully we get a season two, and hopefully, you know, it'll continue, because I really enjoy watching both of them and their friendship. But anyway, that sounds like I'm wrapping up the episode. We still have, you know, a couple more segments to talk about. So anyway, after they get done with the guy that is coordinating the stunts for Outlander and stuff, they go and they talk to another couple of guys that they make all the weapons for Outlander. So these two gentlemen, their names are Jim Elliott and Ian Bowden. So they start talking to these two men, and they're talking about how on, I guess, the first day of filming or whatever, or maybe even just the first rehearsal day when they were wearing their costumes and everything, they come in, all the Highlanders, and they got to pick out their weapons and hold something real in their hand to get into character, and it was really helpful. And I think it's Jim Elliott, he picks up the a dirk and hands it over to Sam, and Sam says that he loves the dirk, and he's holding it there, and he has this, like, this flash memory, and it goes to the scene where our poor Dougal died, where Jamie and Claire had to kill Dougal, and I guess too late now, but spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't watched Outlander. But hopefully, I mean, if you're a fan of this show, you probably have watched Outlander. So anyways, so he's talking about, you know, how he loves the dirk, and then Graham takes the dirk and he starts, you know, slashing it around and everything, and it's really funny. But they also start talking about the broadsword in the hilt, and it's made of the handle is made of stingray skin, you know, so it doesn't slip and slide around, you know, because, you know, these people that were fighting in the combat, you know, up close and personal, they were getting real bloody and everything like that, so they needed to have something to really grip a hold of. So that's what these basket hilt broadswords were made for. And then they start talking about the muskets, you know, with the musket ball, you know, and they the guy demonstrates how to load one and fire one and stuff. And, you know, it looked like a lot of work, and, you know, you were having to do this while a crazy person was coming at you. And again, they go to another scene from Outlander, and it's one of my favorite scenes with Dougal in it, where he is riding his horse to see how far that they could go without getting in a line of fire from the British Army. So yeah, I loved that scene with Dougal. And so anyway, but the guy that they're talking to says that the British could load these muskets three times a minute, so they were pretty skilled with loading these guns. And but anyway, so they demonstrate, you know, how we were talking in the beginning of the episode about the Duke of Cumberland, how he came up with a new tactic to, you know, stab the person next to you instead of going straight for the person in front of you. They would veer off with the bayonets on the edge of the gun. So that was interesting how they demonstrated that. But they also talked about how at the, you know, after the battle, how the British soldiers would come in and, you know, take out any soldier that was, or any Jacobite that was still alive. You know, it's awful and it's kind of sad. But, because one British soldier described how the ground was just writhing because people were still kind of wiggling, you know, after all of that. And that's why the battle only lasted an hour, because, you know, it was brutal. It was, you know, straight to the point, and everybody died. So it goes to the next segment, and Graham recites a poem from Shakespeare's Tempest play, and it says, or he was saying, it says, "Our revels now are ended. These are actors, as I foretold you. We're all spirits and melted into air. And like this insubstantial pageant faded, leave not a rag behind. We are such stuff as dreams are made of. And our little life is rounded with a sleep." So they have come to Culloden, and they're standing in front of Leonek Cottage. And this place was a farm, and it was actually used as a hospital for the battle. But it was for the British soldiers, not the Jacobites. So basically, she starts telling them about how the Culloden translates to boggy field, because, you know, it's really kind of mucky and muddy and everything. And Graham, you know, he points out that, you know, that's an interesting place to have a battle. But she goes to explain that the Jacobites had been there for 6 weeks, waiting for the French to come and break through and bring more weapons and more money and things for, and more soldiers, you know, to come and aid them. But they couldn't wait any longer, because Iverness was a port city, and they needed to protect that place. So they had no choice but to charge. And so she tells them that there are 5,500 men or Jacobites that fight there. And from the hour that it took to fight this battle and the 3 days following, the casualty count was over 1,500 men. And when she says men, she uses that term really loosely, because some of the people there were 13 years old. that's kind of, hard to swallow, to know that there were boys that were 13 years old fighting in this battle, and they all died, probably, most likely. But Sam, he goes on to ask if Jamie Fraser fought in this battle. And Graham points out it's a fictional character, Sam. And but the girl says that there were 5 Jamie Frasers in this battle, but none of them were James Alexander Malcolm McKenzie Fraser. But there were 5 Jamie Frasers. But anyway, she takes them to the front lines where the Jacobite army would have. And the British Army would have been, and she shows them that they're walking down the trail, and the space between the British Army and the Jacobites was 300 yards. So these Jacobites would have had to run 300 yards for the Jacobite charge, for the Highland charge. And at the same time all of this was going on, there was the cannonade happening, the cannons were firing. So it was very harsh conditions that these Jacobites fought in, and they fought to the death. They fought bravely, and Culloden Moor, it was probably not the best place to die. And that's Graham points that out. It's just really tragic. I get choked up just thinking about it. I was watching it, and I started crying, while they were talking about this and walking through where the actual battle took place, and I'm not even there, and I can still feel that heaviness, like I was explaining earlier, that you feel in a presence of a place like that. You can feel it, even just looking at it in pictures and looking at it, on a screen. I know it's a very sacred place, so, and it's very tragic. But as they're talking about this, or as, after they have their moment of silence for the place that they're in, for respect, they show scenes from Outlander, the actual battle of Culloden, and how they actually you can visualize what these Jacobites did and how they lost. And it's really sad. And then they have the bagpipes start playing, and that guy that was, I think he was in the second, I want to say the second episode, they have him come back and play Loch Bar No More on the bagpipes, and that song was composed right after the Battle of Culloden. And as he's playing that, and they are showing Sam and Graham are actually running the 300 meters that the Jacobites, they're retracing the steps. And I believe, and I'm not sure, but it kind of looks like they're doing it in a different place, because, they know that they need to be respectful to the actual Culloden location. But they go to the next scene, and they're at a bar, and they're talking about their experience at Culloden, and Graham points out that his heart is still pounding from that experience, that it was a very climactic moment to do. And everything that they did in this series, it led to that moment for them, it was very interesting to get all the history. And, Sam, he says, he's proud to be Scottish, he's proud to share this with the world. And I'm so glad that they shared this with us, because, I learned so much from this show, and I learned so much from this episode, because, I didn't realize, prior to this episode that it took only an hour. I think I've said this before, but it only took an hour for that battle to be over, from start to finish, and I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that there were young boys on the battlefield that were 13 years old, and, so it's been a really learning experience for me, and I'm so glad that they shared it with us. But anyway, as they're sitting there, Sam, he reaches behind the bar and he has a bottle of his Sassenach whiskey that he wants to give to Graham. But he also wants Graham to share it with him. And then, of course, it goes into a little montage of all the memories of all the episodes that they did in this show. And I really, really enjoyed this show so much. And, you know, of course, that's the end of the episode. And I guess I don't want this to be the end of my episode discussion because, like I said, this, you know, frankly, this has been my favorite show to podcast about since, you know, since I've started podcasting, you know, since I started it. I have enjoyed covering Men in Kilts because, you know, what can I say? I love these two men, and I love Scotland, and me personally, I feel like they should have been longer than 30 minutes. They should have been an hour long or even more, because, I mean, I feel like there was so much more to cover, but that's, you know, hopefully we will get a season two. I mean, I guess the best way that we can maybe get that to happen is to campaign and let Stars know that we want a season two. I mean, just keep hashtagging Men in Kilts season two, Men in Kilts season two. Get on the Facebook page for Men in Kilts and tell them we want a season two. Let Stars know. I mean, I don't know. Someone needs to make a petition or do something because I really want it. I need it to happen. But anyway, that's going to wrap up the discussion of this episode. I do have my usual trivia and show facts, so y'all stay tuned for all of that. Okay, so I got some trivia about the broadsword, and I got this from Scottish Tartan Authority, a website, and it says, the broadsword from the mid-16th century, basket hilt swords, were in common use in Scotland. The idea of a basket to protect the hand first came to England and then Scotland from Scandinavia and Germany sword makers. By the mid-17th century, ribbon baskets were being made in large quantities, and by the 18th century, the Highland basket was reaching its full pattern, with the addition of the final rear wrist guard at the time of Culloden. It was fully matured. All basket hilt swords offered after 1746 were of military pattern. These were essentially weapons for the Highlanders, and the favorite fighting method was with a broad sword in one hand and a targe shield on the other arm. So yeah, I thought that would have been an interesting trivia fact about weaponry, the broadsword. I thought it fit with this episode. So anyway, y'all stay tuned for show facts. Okay, so I get these, like I said, from Mental Floss, and I wasn't able, I think there's like 10 different show facts, and because there's only 8 episodes, I wasn't able to read y'all all of the show facts. So if y'all want to check out the ones that I wasn't able to read to y'all, just go over there on to Mental Floss, and it's called Show Facts. But anyway, the last one that I have here written, it says, Men in Kilts might get a season 2. With each episode running just 30 minutes, McTavish says Men in Kilts' 8-episode season required its creator to leave loads of footage on the cutting room floor. There was lots of stuff on different clans, that we weren't able to fit in, like a visit to Kaldar Castle, McTavish says. We love to do more on the eastern side of Scotland, more around the lowlands, and tell the stories of the lowlanders as well. The story of Scotland, the history of Scotland, is itself the constant war between the borders of Scotland and England, which is stealing from each other and killing each other, which is another way of saying there's plenty of content for a season two, should the men get the green light. So I definitely hope there is a season two. I can't stress that enough. I'm actually, you know, after I finished my discussion on it and was getting my notes together and everything, I actually got teared up because I'm afraid this might be it, and I don't want this to be it. But hopefully it's not it. We will get a season two, and I'm gonna stay positive and hope for a season two. This has been really fun to cover this show, and it's been really fun to talk about it to all of y'all. I hope y'all have enjoyed it just as much as I have. This episode is going on 35 minutes, so it's a little longer than my average Men in Kilts show, but I'm gonna keep it sponsorship free, and I am still gonna post it to YouTube no matter how long it goes on for. So I don't have any feedback. I wish I did, but you know, it's fine. I didn't get any feedback. If y'all want to leave feedback, I'm going to leave my link tree in the description so y'all can find me there. That's going to do it for Men in Kilts, season one. So I guess the only thing left to do is say y'all keep having fun. Ten-hour worth episode of Clanland or of Men in Kilts. I'm sorry.